listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut, but homicide be looking at me for the face down. Will Mac 11 even boom with the bass down? Scheming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. When pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. Now tell your mama I love her, but this is what I like. Lord knows. 20 of them in my Chevy, tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sold. So my karma coming heavy into heaven, no preliminary hearing. So my record and my motherfucking gang stay with silence for the record. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're in the house Saturday.
Yes, we've been up and down before, nigga.
And it's on a Saturday after my brother's and sister-in-law's baby shower.
Yes, that was so much fun.
I know, man.
We getting ready to be giving to have a nephew.
Yeah. Sebastian, man.
Yes, I'm excited. I can't wait for him to get here.
It's almost time. Somebody was like, congratulations, I didn't know he was about to come an uncle again. And I was like, oh, that is right. I forgot to tell the internet.
Yeah, because we know that we ain't said nothing.
Sometimes I just be forgetting, y'all. We had a good time.
We had a blast. I had a great time. I don't know what they call it, but I call it Smurf Berry Juice. I had about 5 or 6 glasses. It was delicious.
All right, so Karen's a little inebriated, y'all.
It was good.
You know, I tried to give her the sign that it was time to go because we still had to do the show. And then
y'all better be glad because I'd have me about 10 when the night was over.
45 minutes later, she came after finished talking to people.
You know I'm a woman, so I keep and beat the hell out of you. It was like, nigga, I'm going to finish this goddamn conversation. You got to wait.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait to get my revenge for that. But then she tried to bring a cup of the alcoholic juice for the road. I was like, you can't get in the car with open alcohol, man.
I know you trying to have us all go to jail.
Like, this is a long drive back home, man. Police might pull us over. Anything could happen. Oh boy. But it was a good time. I never been to a baby shower before. I didn't know what exactly
they all not like
you're
that.
Supposed to do.
Yeah, this
was a surprise baby shower.
Yeah, this one was co-ed, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I guess a lot of times it's just mostly women there.
Right.
Well, it was dope. I feel like I stole the show.
You did.
Because, you know, I bought what I believe to be the best gift.
That gift was cool.
And I got it from their registry. Because I wanted to get something that nobody else is going to get. But I also, you know, we're going to be aunt and uncle, man. That's a pretty important,
milestone.
You know, thing, you know. So I wanted to get him something really nice. So we got him this really nice baby monitor thing. And the way it is, it's like you can order it from the store.
Mm-hmm.
And then they deliver it from, like, Target, because that's where they registered, to their house or whatever.
Best shit
and
ever.
They told me it wouldn't be there till next week, so I was like feeling really awkward because I was like, everyone's gonna be opening presents and looking at gifts, and they won't have anything from me. So I actually like sent them a text message with the picture of the thing, like, well, this is what it looked like when it get here, you know, sorry that it's not here on time. But it actually came like faster than they said, and it arrived during the party, and they opened it up and blood out, best gift ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Mo was surprised because when we got the gift, it was funny because on the back of it was like, shh. I was like, okay.
It wasn't a gift. That was
the invitation. Yeah. I was like, she must not know that they're having this. And Roger was like, well, I'm glad I didn't tell her anything.
Yeah. But they were really excited about that gift. And, you know, Sebastian going to be stunting for the gram already. He's going to live his whole life on camera. So y'all got us to blame for the next Kanye West, you know. That's just what it is, though. Anyway, this is the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes to search the Blackout Tips. We're also on every other thing, Spreecast. We're on RSS Radio. We're on Stitcher. We're on all that stuff. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We'll read them on the show, assuming that Stitcher stays up, you know.
Yeah, if it does.
And as far as feedback, you can also email the show, theblackouttips@gmail.com. I'm thinking that we're gonna have to do something about the Walking Dead thing, though, because people are sending feedback for the Walking Dead, but they didn't send I don't know. It's a lot. Like, we're gonna have to start working on some rules of the feedback for The Walking Dead. Like, we gotta trim it down. Okay. People are sending these really long things. It's like, I don't want every Saturday to turn into Walking Dead feedback. And I also don't want our recaps to turn into mostly us reading emails.
Correct. Cause
that would suck. So, we gotta figure something out. We'll fix maybe a word limit, or just, you guys gotta start hitting a strong point so we're not gonna read. We just had to skip some.
Right.
I don't know.
We'll figure it out. Read the highlights of some or modify it. We'll figure out something.
Anyway, you can also leave voicemails for the show as long as they're 3 minutes or less. 704-557-0186. 704-557-0186. Just make sure it's 3 minutes or less, and we'll listen to it and play it on the show. And you can, of course, go to theblackouttest.com and leave comments, votes in the polls, all kinds of stuff right there from that website, theblackouttest.com. You can even become a premium listener. And one thing about Stitcher going down is forcing a lot of you guys to go get these other apps, and you're finding out, oh shit, I can listen to premium shows with that RSS feed and the password right from my apps. And now you got the Blackout Tips in your pocket on the go, for Apple and Android devices. So
you're welcome. So a lot of people are really excited about that. Now you ain't got to be stuck to your computer streaming.
All right, now you got balls deep sports everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. Always be going balls deep on you.
Ah, in love.
Right in your pants. Right in your pocket. All right, let's talk about the people that donated to this show. Because they definitely hooked us up. Let me play our song.
We don't want no devils in the house.
Yes,
we
want
the Lord.
Yes,
can't say this ain't gospel. Everybody turn to the book of Kanye West. Pablo, verse 1, chapter 1. We'd like to thank Film Press Comics for your recurring donation. Thank you.
This is not the song.
This is the song I'm playing. David S. Thank you so much, David, for your recurring donation. Maurice N, recurring donator. Thank you.
Today's a new day. What's happening?
Christopher D, recurring donator. Thank you. You gotta switch it up sometime. This is a gospel rap album. Brina H, recurring donation. Conrad L. Please don't talk over the people getting their money, Karen. They need these shout outs. They've been waiting all week for these. Maxie G, recurring donator. Tabitha M. Jennifer OZ, 40 ounces of love. Alexis H, recurring donator. Tanya S, recurring donator. Dana W, recurring donator. Rosalie V, recurring donator. Wonga, all the way from Australia, mate. Thank you so much, man. That's everybody. Play me out. No. Kanye and Kirk Franklin.
God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything. Everything. But I'm looking for more. Somewhere to feel safe. And I'm the only one. I'm trying to keep my faith.
Why is the depression not blessing?
Oh, give me a solo, sister.
Why you do me wrong? You persecute the weak because it makes you feel
so strong.
So I look to the light. Whoa. You make these wrongs turn right. Head up high. I look to the light. Hey, cause I know that you'll make
everything alright.
And I know that you'll take good care of
your child.
Oh, no longer am I afraid of night.
Cause I
look to the light.
They come for you. I will shield your pain. I will feel your questions. I will feel your pain. They don't know.
Foot on the devil's neck to the...
Karen, only Jesus could do that. Why are you hating? Why are you back there hating?
Y'all better be glad y'all was giving dollars. It's the only reason why I shut my lips.
That's right. Just pardon her, guys. She's drunk.
Cole, no. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm
sorry I had to be a part.
Nope, Cole passed the old school. Nope, play the old song.
Mm-mm. Not today. Satan.
Drifted Pangea. I'm moving all my family from Chatham to Zambia. Treat the demons just like Pam. I mean, I fuck with your friends,
but damn, Gina.
I've been this way since Arthur was anteater. Now they want to hit me with the woo out the bam. Trying to snap photos of family. My daughter look just like C.
You can't see her.
You can feel the lyrics of spirit coming in braille. Tumming of the underground, come and follow the trail. I made Sunday candy, I'm never going to hell. I met Kanye West, I'm never going to fail. He said, let's do a...
Jesus, Chance. Why did you do him like this? They didn't know. They weren't asking for all this. They thought they were listening to a Kanye West album. This is my part, nobody else speak. This little light of mine. Glory be to God, yeah. All right, we got 5-star reviews. Sorry for that tangent.
No problem.
Getting right in 2016, 5 stars by La Femme Hajita. Says, I've been listening to this show and participating in the chat room for a little over a year now. This show is so good. I don't know how I got through my day before I discovered it. Rod and Karen have been changed and reinforced my perspectives in so many positive ways, and I'm forever changed. Will you add the Facebook group, introduction to other podcasts, and the hours of laughter and the love of blackness? You can't go wrong. Thank Rod and Karen. When we look back at the podcast, you will be one of the greats. You slay. P.S. Sorry it took me so long, Karen, but I'm trying to get right in 2016.
Yes, get it right. Get it tight.
It's never too late to get right.
Nope. Anytime you leave a 5-star review, it's on time.
This is for everyone who feels like they not good enough. For anyone out there that feels like they just too messed up. On the machinations of this here angry feminist machine, 5 stars. Big mad right ring feminist is who wrote this. This show and its accompanying community of listeners is fantastic. Rod and Karen are funny, well-informed, genuine people, creating media that they care about, and it shows. Nothing is off limits per the motto, nothing's wrong if it's funny. Their segments range from irreverent to thought-provoking. Cosby news, gay news, guest array, sword ratchetness, effing with black people, baller alert, etc. You'll laugh, you'll learn something, and then you'll realize you're hooked. Love it all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Smizzy City USA says, love this show, 5 stars. I was introduced to this podcast by my boyfriend and fell in love with it. Oh, well, looks like he had to get knocked out of the way. You know what I'm saying? It's a threesome now, baby.
Hey.
Love the topics you discuss. And though I might not always agree with you guys, I'm able to get another perspective of a situation. First of all, none of y'all always agrees with us. That's impossible.
Yeah, we don't even agree with each other all the time.
Right. Second of all, Karen, did you get that alcohol that we got from the party?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make
sure. I stuck it in my pocketbook.
All right, cool. My favorite segments are Guess the Race and Groupie Tales. Cue up the good job. You have a new lifetime listener. This review is sponsored by Bullet Ball and Bullet Ball Extreme.
Yes, and before you go on, they had like a game where you couldn't say baby, and me and Roderick won, and we both got some alcohol.
Okay, now I have to explain the game, because that's no level of an explanation to anybody.
Oh, my bad.
They give everybody a safety pin or a clothespin or something. If you say the word baby during the baby shower, you have to give your pin to whoever called you out for saying baby. Karen got, I don't know, 4 or 5 pins by the time I saw her. I had one, and Karen came over, and I said, how'd you get the pin? And she said, because people were saying baby. I said, yep, now you owe me a pin. Because she violated the rule and said baby.
I did.
And then she lied and didn't want to give me the pin.
No, I didn't.
Y'all, she had zero honor.
I didn't lie.
She didn't give me the pin.
No, I didn't give you the pin because I was fighting it, but no, I didn't lie.
No, you were not an honorable person. You was cheating just like Peyton Dan Manning. She didn't want to give me my pin that I earned by tricking her. She said, you tricked me. I was like, of course. That's the damn game. Layla tried to trick me earlier. She said, what is Morgan having in however many weeks? And I said, an offspring. And she said, dang, and went to the next person. So I know what I'm doing. Karen was over here trying to cheat, y'all. You know what I mean? She won't let me worship the Lord in the way that I want to.
Mm-mm.
With Kanye and Chance.
Nope.
And Kirk. And now she lied at the party and wasn't gonna give me my I had to guilt her to give what she owed. Everybody else gave her the thing she won. Everybody gave her their clothespin.
I gave it to you.
And then I won some alcohol and then she won some too anyway. So yes, I don't even know why she had to cheat like that. God don't like cheaters, but that's fine.
God don't like ugly.
Mm-hmm. Say maybe this will help.
Good ass job with chance three. Hey, you gotta sell it to snatch the Grammy. Let's make it so free and the bar so hard that the day one got star part. You can't tweet. This is my part, nobody else speak. This is my part, nobody else speak. This little line of mine. Glory be to God, yeah. I'ma make sure that they go where they can't go. If they don't wanna ride, I'ma still give them raincoats. Know what God said when he made the first rainbow? Just throw it in the air. Wait for the angels.
I'm just having fun with it.
You know that a nigga was lost. I laugh in my head cause I bet that my ex look
and act like a pillar of salt. That's how you get your life, Karen. Anyway. Back to these reviews. Hardest Working Podcast by Metaphor IC says, not only do Rod and Karen provide tons of content, is the kind of high quality content you literally cannot afford to miss. They slay. TBGWT podcast is my number one source for news, comedy, common sense, love, support, and the point of view that is hardly ever heard in the mainstream media program, and keep up the great work, flawless.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, Metaphor IC. We also got one from Thugnificent 3.3. 5 stars. They the best, man. Believe it.
Thank you.
That was a very helpful review.
Thank you
very much. We appreciate all the reviews on iTunes. And if you're not from the U.S., let us know your country. And we'll look up that review and we'll read that on the show as well.
We will.
Let's see what else we got here. We got some reviews from Stitcher. 10 days ago when the site was still working.
You're right.
Debbie OETT says, 5 stars. Love your podcast. Dear Rod and Karen, I love your podcast. I listen to every episode after discovering you folks from Twib. Used to love when Rod would call into that show and join the conversation. Always chilling. You do the best recap of The Walking Dead and Fear of The Walking Dead that I've ever heard. Thank you. We try. The topics discussed are always relevant, so I'm always kept informed. I have so much fun playing along and guess the race. I often guess correctly. Not sure what that says about me, that you racist. that's exactly what it says, man. Keep up the great work, and if you ever in New York, I hope you do a meet and greet. If we're ever in New York, we will try to do that.
We will try.
I'm just gonna go out in the middle of Times Square and say, I'm here, America.
No, don't work. Like
meet
that.
Me.
I'm not doing that.
The naked cowboy man, meet me.
Okay, introvert. Yeah.
Spider-Man, come dance.
I don't believe you.
You'll see. Meta says, never not relevant, 5 stars. For the amount of content that this parent couple puts out, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week of quality free content, it's astounding that they manage to always stay fresh and always on time. They provide perspectives on current events that are sorely lacking in the regular ass media. And it, ooh, they got ass in there? Okay. AZZ, I see what you did, player. Well, now you guys, I guess you can cuss if you spell it wrong. If you are not checking for Rod and Karen on a daily basis, I don't know what your life is really about. This is a must listen podcast. Exactly. All right. We also got some comments on the actual episodes of the show on the website, theblackoutist.com. Let's check those out. Let me scroll down. You know what? Kanye, play me out.
Cause they flipped the script on your ass like Wesley and Spike. You cannot mess with the light. Look at Lito from 79.
We on that ultra light beam. We on that ultra light beam. This is a God dream. This is a God dream. This is everything.
Hallelujah.
Every day. Hey.
I'm trying to keep my faith.
Yes.
But I'm looking for more. Somewhere I can feel it.
Take them people to church, man.
Mm-mm. That little girl is everything down the low.
Mm. We don't want no devils in here, God.
Oh, she meant that from her soul. You can say, that baby meant that.
All right. Episode 1136, Angry Feministist Machine. Tanya W42 says, this is the best cover art ever, because it's cover art of Pam Grier. I was trying to think of what's angry feminist in people's minds, and I thought maybe Pam Grier, you know, during her day as Foxy Brown and many other versions of Foxy Brown. Come on, she had one character. It don't mean she ain't fine.
Ain't that the truth?
Amani says, shame on you, Rod and Karen. How dare you two combine to form the feminist Voltron? Who said you could use the blazing sword of humor to call out the bullshit and hypocrisy of sexism? Who told you to form the head and use logic in your arguments? Nope, none of that is fun at all. So what have you built your platform on being honest and genuine? What we're not going to do is keep that up when it comes to challenging my narrow worldview. Come on, guys, this is obvious.
Yeah.
And Karen, I'm especially disappointed in you.
Oh, Lord.
How dare you have your own opinions and speak with expertise on issues that affect you as a woman on the podcast, your co-host. You co-host and people pay money to hear your voice.
Right.
This is just shameful, especially since you're also too afraid of Rod to have your own opinion at the same time. I don't know how that works, but I said it. You figure it out. And don't ask me about your aggression, Rod. I want to talk about this feminist rage. But seriously, love both of y'all. I've been spreading the gospel with TVGWT. You create an amazing work space, and the work y'all do is great. But with as much content as you guys create, I think people start to spaz at the brand and sometimes forget that y'all just regular niggas at this, basically. Come on. And at the same time, that's on us to show you love the same way the crazies want to raise their voices. Keep doing the damn thing. We will.
We sure will.
Yeah, I always... I've been toying around with this idea to show I review stuff sometimes by myself, just me. Mm-hmm. And I always hit the same roadblock, which is that I don't think my opinion is that fucking important. But which is funny, because you would think people would be like, you would think with what I do for a living that I'm doing it because I think my opinion is so fucking important.
No.
But to me, it's kind of the opposite, where it's like, it don't matter. So what the fuck matters if I don't like your favorite album, or I do love your favorite album? That shouldn't change how you feel about the album. I know it don't change how I feel. Like when, as much as I respect and admire Bomani Jones, but if he was to say like, fuck Kendrick Lamar tomorrow, that's not going to keep Kendrick out of my MP3 player, my phone and all this shit. So to me, I've always kind of felt like, you know, the reason I like doing the show is because it's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I try to have a thoughtful, well-formed opinion, but at the end of the day, I can't make you do anything that you don't want to do, and vice versa, right? So that's the way I approach it. So it is weird to me when we get a like extreme hate or extreme like, you know, like these things that treat our opinions so importantly, where it's just like, right, you know, your angry feminism is trying to change the world. I'm like, nigga, it's a podcast. I don't, right, like, I'm not actually going to visit the president tomorrow to change the world, dog. I just gave my opinion, and you know, I have conviction in my opinion. I feel that it's very well thought out. If it's weighing on you, but then, you know, because you approach, because if it's weighing on you, then I chalk it up to what I said must have had enough merit that you had to think about it. But for the angry shit, you can miss me with that. Sorry, Ken. I didn't mean to keep cutting you out, but I wanted to make a point.
Oh, no problem. I like I said, I don't, and that's the thing. Like I said, I know that's been something you've been tossing around. I personally think it's something that you should do, because a lot of people would like to hear your opinions on these things. And like you said, there's nothing but your opinion. You're not going to make or break or change anything, but people still want to hear your perspective on things.
I'm going to do it.
But I know that's one thing that's been stopping you.
Yeah, because every time I get ready to write, sit down and write, like, okay, I'm going to give my opinion on Kanye's album. I'm like, who the fuck cares what I think about Kanye's album? You know what I mean? Like, don't you like it already, or don't you not like it already? Like, you're not gonna change because I like the shit. I would, or at least I don't expect you to, because I can't make something hot and I can't make something whack either. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. But if people want my opinion on shit like that, then let's do it. Anyway, was that 5-star review from Rod Stalker? Yes or no? 97% of y'all think it was that dude. 3% say no. Now, he did have some of the same characteristics. Mischaracterizing things he said, lying, making up shit. Like, I mean, he's definitely, you know, this angry anti-feminist, anti-this. Like, you know, he did everything but say we was in the pocket of Big Jew and shit, like he did on the special Medium Talk episode where he yelled all over me. So yeah, you know, I thought maybe it could be him too, but we asked the audience and 97% of y'all think it was. EVE said that was totally your stalker. He just can't stay away. And he uses some of the same arguments he used in his voicemails. Not only that, listens to the show enough to know you read 5-star reviews, but apparently he didn't listen enough to know you gotta screen them before you read them. He got lucky this time, but this won't be the last you heard of him. He seems pressed. I bet he's listening right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that wasn't even, I mean, if he wants to feel that that was luck, if you think being ridiculed by us is the business, then I guess that's what it is, but it's not like anybody heard his argument. That guy got a good, like, how many people gotta hear your shit and be like, this is idiotic and I don't agree with it, before you just stop listening. Anyway, episode 1137, where we had Nick Jew on, and we talked about that new Yeezus, the new Yeezy. Mm-hmm. And we also talked about a bunch of other shit. We got some comments. EVE said, I never understood why we're not supposed to speak ill of the dead. Oh, wait, the episode was named by Scalia because, you know, Judge Scalia died and I partied. Fuck him.
Right.
Oh, I'm such a good person. Yeah, I guess you guys know. Somebody on Twitter was like, I never knew the depths of Rod's cynicism until this episode. I'm like, well, you just ain't heard them old ones.
Yeah, you sure haven't.
I don't, there's a lot of shit I just am like, that ain't happening. You know, like, it'll be good, but I don't believe in people that much. Anyway, EVE says, I never understood why we're not supposed to talk ill of the dead, even if when that person was alive, they were a big piece of shit. Not sad to see Scalia go. He was a bigot. If I could, I'd tap dance on his grave. Yeah, also, on some real shit, man, I don't know how to translate this any better, and I have not said anything directly to people because, you know, like I said, it's their opinion and I can't really change it, but I feel like everyone that talks shit about people like this when they're alive and then stops the day they die are fake ass motherfuckers. Cause you fake. You don't really believe that.
Right.
Like you are full of shit. You talk shit about this person every single day they were alive. The second they die, it's like, well, you know, we all have to understand that there's a time and a place. Nah, fuck that. When they were alive to hear it, you were saying it. So now suddenly they die and they a good person. I don't believe in that shit at all, man. You made the world worse while you were here. Every day you woke up and you were in a position to make the world a worse place, you decided that's what you were going to do. So how the fuck am I supposed to feel anything for you? You know, I think people just scared of death. Y'all just scared of dying and y'all think y'all going to talk it up or something. Like, yeah, we all got to face the Reaper at some point, but that ain't no reason to fucking let evil slide. Fuck that shit. Somebody got to be fighting for us to equality for rights. Somebody gotta be speaking out about this shit, and some people gonna be speaking against it, and we need to be speaking out against them too. Mm-hmm. And you know that shit don't work the other way.
Never.
When something happened to somebody, the Obamas or something, man, the motherfuckers won't, the ink won't dry on the fucking obituary for they out here talking shit, man. Fuck them.
Come on now. But it's supposed to be very, that consideration is supposed to be extended the other way.
Right. I don't feel bad at all. I have no moral quandary about being like, I thought this dude was a piece of shit when he's alive and now he's dead. He's still a piece of shit. Fuck him. Well, you have to respect what he did. Made the world worse? I don't have to respect that at all. You might feel some respect for that, but I don't. Anyway, Jonathan said, I'll be honest. When I saw the AP News Service and the New York's report that Scalia died, I felt sorry for my neighbors because I was partying. I turned on Do You Want the Funk, start dancing, humping the air and yelling, yes, take that bitch, take that. Then I turned off the music, called my brother to celebrate over the phone. Scalia was a racist, sexist, homophobic asshole, which is an insult to assholes everywhere. Yep. You know the other part, this is helpful for some of the rulings for the Supreme Court, some of the things that'll
be crucial, and that's why they so hurt that man died.
Yeah, why the fuck are we not happy about this? Ding dong, the witch is dead, motherfucker.
Right.
Did y'all watch fucking the Wizard of Oz and not understand. Y'all just like, I don't get it. I mean, shouldn't they just be sad and take a moment of silence that the witch is dead? Like, no, nigga, I'm going back to Kansas, bye.
That and also along with the marijuana and all that stuff, because all that stuff is about to hit for them to make a ruling all across the country, and that shit's gonna matter.
Yeah, sometimes I just think people don't believe the shit they say.
They don't.
You know what I mean? Like, this person's a piece of shit, ha ha ha, and it's funny to them, but it's not. But beyond that, they don't actually mean, like, and I hope this motherfucker dies out. Like, so many people say, like, you know, if we want the world to improve, the only way it's gonna happen is through old people dying. Yeah, well, that's what this was.
Yeah,
I'm popping, I'm celebrating. Mm-hmm. Drink the champagne. You know, anybody holding us back, gone by. Good. Not like somebody snuck in his house and smothered him with a pillow. Am I right, black people?
Oh Lord.
But really though, that Obama didn't kill him. Or did he? You know what I'm saying? We don't know.
He didn't.
We don't know. Hey, I'm just saying, I wouldn't hold it against him if he moved up my president rankings. Need me a do dirt dude.
Oh Lord.
You're like, you know what, Michelle? Fuck him. That's probably was the whole conversation.
I bet you it was, because they hot because he ain't going to his funeral. But he was like, I got presidential shit to do.
All right, I'm gonna visit some little kids. That's what I'm gonna do. Mm-hmm. Do you still enjoy Kanye West's music? Yes, no, or never did. 9.84% of our audience never enjoyed Kanye West music. So I gotta respect that. Understood. The rest of the people, at some point they enjoyed it and they stopped, or they still enjoy it. So 25% basically, they don't enjoy his music anymore. Now it could be because he fell off. Could be because he gets on Twitter and says horrible things.
Right.
And is a horrible person. Cause I was thinking about his music the other day and I was like, it's not because there's a change in the music really, as far as his messages. Pretty much always been fucked up.
Yes, they have.
You know, like, he's just always been just.
There's always been something wrong with him to me.
Yeah, just been a womanizing, you know, conveniently can see racism, but
only for him.
But only when it's some shit that he wants in the way, you know. Right. Very egotistical, very fucking maniacal to some extent, man. Just extremely hell-bent on making us recognize his talentness, his greatness, just trying to like pull out his virtual talent dick and flash the world his entire career from the time that he was upset that they didn't want to sign him on his first album and made a whole interlude just detailing every person that turned him down. Like,
correct.
Just, you know, so to me, I was thinking about, I was like, well, I guess that's just Kanye and it's always been. But maybe people just kind of woke up to, like, he's not growing up. Like, the rest, like, some of these other rappers kind of grow out of this shit. Now, it's still low-key kind of pathetic to me that rappers still rap about getting bitches after, like, they get married and have kids and stuff. And you're like, well, aren't, I mean, yeah, unless you really doing this shit.
Right, you don't really live that life no more, dog.
Yeah, like, what's the point of?
When I see your interviews, you was like, yeah, my baby going to the third grade.
Yeah, like, when you hear Jay-Z rapping about bitches on his last album, you're just like, well, we know you got Beyonce and a baby, and, you know, unless you trying to get divorced, I don't think you really out here fucking women every night in the club, you know. But it's just interesting to see that in rap, that's one category you don't have to mature. Like, you can be 40 and still rapping about killing niggas and shit. It's just wild. Anyway, 25% of y'all do not enjoy his music anymore, which means 66% of y'all still enjoy some Kanye West. So, well, yeah, because, not surprised.
Yeah, because the truth be told, no matter what anybody says, your talent kind of outshines your ain't shit, and it happens in all genres of music.
Just, he had an impossible task, in my opinion. He pulled it off.
Yep.
Made an album better than Defending Cosby. Tell you that shit. Never thought it was a million years. If this shit would have been Yeezus level. And I like Yeezus, but I'm saying I ain't like it enough to be like, this nigga Defending Cosby? I would have been like, I can skip this album. Never liked it that much. It's crazy. We had episode 1130 to be white, where we had Tim, Andy, and Randolph from the Three Guys on Podcast.
That was fun.
And we talked about Valentine's Day and Elliot Spitzer and all this stuff. Ray in Japan says, this episode killed me, especially the part where you talked about Cleophas. It reminded me, yeah, Cleophas is guy sat beside behind us in a restaurant.
That old man.
It reminded me of my great uncle Cleophas and his 17 children, most of who have Cleo somewhere in their name.
Oh.
If I remember correctly, the ones named Cleophas are around 10 of them. There's 10 Cleophases, like Cleophas Juniors and shit. That's weird. Damn, they still going, huh?
Strong. They ain't gonna never die out.
And then the poll was, because Randolph brought it up, do you think Kanye has a mental illness? Yes. I'm not a Dr. Howard, I know. Nah, it's just the cocaine. And no, he seems fine to me. Well, I guess we'll get the suspense over with. No, he seems fine to me had 0 votes.
You don't say.
I thought at least somebody might think he was okay. Nah, it's just cocaine. 15% of y'all think he's just on drugs. And it's fucking them up. 32% of you guys think, I'm not a doctor, so how would I know? I feel like I'm in that category. I think something's up with him, but I don't feel comfortable diagnosing anything from a fucking album or some tweets. I leave that to the mental health professionals, because I ain't one. And 53.7% said yes, they think he has a mental illness. Karen, where'd you fall in? What camp?
Oh, yeah, he's something wrong with him. Yeah, he got him in the illness.
All right. Episode 1139, Weird Science. We talked about the Grammys, Beyonce, Chipotle, a bunch of stuff. I don't think we had any guests this episode. Got a couple comments. Mayor 2010 says, greetings, Rod and Karen. I love the Kendrick Lamar Grammy performance and the To Pimp a Butterfly album. Kendrick went so black he lost some white fans. I remember before the album came out, my white coworkers who considered themselves hip hop lovers, who loved Good Kid, Mad City, were so excited and rushed to download the album. Right. After I heard the album, I was like, this album is the shit. Expecting my so-called enlightened hip hop loving coworkers to feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Imagine my surprise when they all said, I'm not feeling this album. Good Kid, Mad City was better. Right. After I heard them say that shit, I stopped talking to them. Their response told me everything I needed to know about how they felt inside about black people and our issues and life experiences.
Right, because the thing about Good Kid, Mad City, a lot of people, put it like this, white people like popping and rocking this shit as long, put it like this, if it's about black people shit that doesn't make them feel uncomfortable or talks about that quote unquote black life, they cool with that. But if it's some black people shit that challenges their perspective or some black people shit that they feel like threatens their whiteness or their whiteness to a place where they don't understand, they tap out.
Yeah, I just think there's no place for white people on the album. And you know, it's so black and his momentum and talent is still so readily apparent that you better not review this album and say it's whack,
right,
whether you get it or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think there's a lot of people who conceptually feel like they understand what he was doing that will never understand it the way we feel it in our bones,
right?
You know, and it just is what it is. You know, I think unlike with Childish Gambino, where it seemed like this backlash because there were so many white people that felt like Donald Glover was the token black guy that they know, who they all root for, and they led it to their clubs
and they felt comfortable,
date their sisters and shit, and they all felt like, well, why the hell would he have all these feelings about race in this album? And they kind of rejected him and gave him a bad review. But I feel like with Kendrick is extremely black. You know, he's been with the same black woman since high school. You know, he's raps about blackness and black shit and black experience. He got a black ass life. His entire discography is, you know, based around, you know, this essential part of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he goes and makes the Pimp a Butterfly, the story of his life basically is so black, there's no place for anybody else in it. And in a way, his singular focus on like understanding himself makes it universal to everybody, because we can all relate to trying to understand ourselves and our motivations and our shortcomings and our failings. And he does that so well. But, you know, it's just such a beautiful album. I don't think it can be denied unless, you know, it comes to album of the year for the Grammys.
Correct.
You know, but I do think there's a lot of people faking it with Kendrick. And I have to say that because I think part of it is just he's that talented. Like, he's so talented he can convey emotion even when
they don't understand.
Vast majority of people probably is over their head.
Yeah. It's one of those things where because just Kendrick and his presence, it's one of those things where people can listen and they're feeling something. They might not understand it or they might not can relate, but it's some form of emotion that he evokes out of people. And it makes them feel like, well, this is good. I don't understand it, but I can't say it's whack.
Yeah, I've had people say like, well, I don't like Kendrick. And I had to stop them and be like, do you not like Kendrick or do you not understand Kendrick?
Because that's completely different.
Because a lot of people think they like, I don't like what I can't understand. And it's right. Like, yeah, so let's rap about his lyrics and shit. You know, I'm a hip hop person that typically I know lyrics to albums and shit and songs. And even when I don't like something, it's typically, I typically have more reason than to just, I don't like it. Normally I have more than that. So, you know, I'm willing to have a conversation. I'm not going to try to convince you to like it. I just want to know for my own clarity, like, is it that you don't like what he's saying or is it that you just don't understand what the fuck he's talking about? So it's like, I don't like that. I can relate to Drake whining about, you know, girls that he basically dogged out, but then they got over him, or being in a friend zone. Like, it's easy to relate to that. It's not that complex, but, you know, when Kendrick is breaking down, the traps of trying to become famous and his own dream and all this shit, a lot of people get, you know, kind of left behind because of the way he phrases his words and the concepts and the perspectives that he raps from. So a lot of people, I think, appreciate the technical difficulty of what he does and they appreciate the proficiency he displays, but
right.
When it comes to actually like understanding what he's talking about or his message and listening to songs 10 times to get it and shit, most people ain't doing all that.
No, because and just me, what I've learned over years is that different people listen to music differently, and you're very lyrical, but there are a lot of people, they give zero fucks about lyrics. They're like, if the beat banging or not, I mean, that's what determines if they're in or not. And for Kendrick, a lot of his shit bangs, so they go, well, I like that beat, even though I don't know what the fuck he's talking about.
But yeah, that's why, and like I said, I don't get mad at white people that didn't get that album. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for them. If they didn't get it, it's fine. If they did get it, it's fine. You know, I sincerely doubt many of them got it the way that we did. You know, where it was just like, because we lived this experience, it was just easy to understand where he was coming from, or easier to understand. I doubt that they got it like that. But whatever, you know, I don't need everybody to like all the shit I like.
Correct.
R. Miller 728 said, the minute I saw that bullshit story where the sheriff claimed Beyonce was behind the drive-by shootings at his house, I immediately thought, this does not sound right. Just waiting for the next story to be reported stating he staged the whole thing. White people and their bullshit. Me too. I'm waiting on another shoe to drop with that. I don't think that's real. Nick Ju says, apparently a guitar fell on a piano string, so the piano was out of tune for Adele's Grammy performance. However, I agree with Reed. I think she meant Rod. Kendrick took her voice when he left. Yeah.
Aww.
He said, we taking that too.
give me everything.
Right.
Your voice, that's going to.
You cool. Give me your voice. Did people inspired by Beyonce shoot up the police officer's house? No, because he made it all up. No, because someone else did it. Or yes, get information. 10.2% of y'all think yes, get information. Oh, they shot up his house, y'all. 14% of y'all said no, someone else did it.
And someone else did it.
75% of y'all said he made it all up.
I think he made it all up
as well. Let's see. We had episode 1140, Fetty Carl. Oh, yeah, that's my dog, man. A lot of people was getting off the joke. I saw everybody on Twitter being like, I knew it was on as soon as I turned on this episode and saw Fetty Carl. Like, y'all crazy. All I saw was the title alone. I don't even see the episode. it was getting it, man. But that's my dog, man. Anyway, we had some comments. Lauren in Pittsburgh says, I think Ron was aiming at Rick, which makes sense since Rick killed both his parents and let his little brother die. Let his little brother die? Come on now. Come on now, Lauren. He didn't let his little brother die. That boy committed suicide by a zombie.
Yes, he did.
His gun went wide when Bayshon stabbed him, and it was quite a bit of his off his original aim when he fired. God damn, I was happy to see that genius psycho die. Okay, here's what I think. I think he absolutely shot Carl on purpose.
Me too.
Because he was going to shoot Carl before the zombies broke that wall down.
Yes, he was. He was seconds from doing it.
Yeah, he'd been obsessing about shooting Carl specifically for a long time.
Yeah,
you
about Enith, and like he just feel like a lot of this just falls Carl's way because he's emo.
And he thought that, in my opinion, this would also hurt Rick. Like, this is the best way to get back at Rick as well. Kill Carl. Because he was trying to kill that boy. He wasn't trying to shoot his eye out.
Mm-mm. He wanted him dead.
Lucked Out says, besides the Glenn clusterfuck, I'm sure Valentine's affected the ratings. Oh, yeah, that's true. Kind of hard to keep it romantic if your SO isn't into the show. Next episode's ratings would show a better trend. Well, someone did inform me on Twitter that the ratings this season, even at the original season opening, have been 15% down from last season anyway. So maybe it's just people stopped watching it as much this season. I don't know. Since so many kids have died, Carl is going to have very few peers in his generation if he lives into adulthood. I believe his sister will have more if Carol doesn't low-key traumatize baby Mize. Last year, the Wolves were taking prisoners which Carol copied with Morgan and Gabriel. That is right. They mm-hmm. do take prisoners sometimes. I'm not surprised that the Wolf helped Denise while Morgan had given the Wolf a sermon, which felt patronizing. I got better, so you should too. Denise is the first to have more of a two-way conversation and show him understanding. You're broken. Which, now that I think about it, the cheese monk and her both had psychology degrees. Well, that's a good point. Didn't even realize that, but yeah. Maybe she got through to him somehow. I just felt like she wasn't saying shit, and she somehow still got through to him. But maybe it's the combination of her and Morgan, or I don't know. I would give, if I was giving somebody credit, I'd give Morgan more of the credit. He tied that nigga up. He got his wound treated. He gave him the speech about not killing, you know. Maybe it was Morgan that broke through some kind of way. What do you think, Karen?
I think he got through to him. I don't know. That was a hard one. Because my problem with Morgan is just, I think Morgan needs to die, honestly.
Okay. I'm just wondering if he got through to the Wolf to make him change his mind, though.
Yeah.
Why did the Wolf change his mind and decide to come back and save her and shit after giving all those speeches about, you know, letting people die and not helping?
I guess he had some change. So I guess, yeah, I take that back. I think he did have some change on him. I think that he has some kind of compassion, because I think you could tell after Morgan had finished the story that the Wolf was somewhat moved, even though she played, quote-unquote, hard. And the reason why I say he played hard is because you could tell after the fact that it was playing hard, even though, yeah, he would still fuck people up and kill them. But I think there was some softening of the part, just some.
All right. I think EVE says, I think Ron was trying to kill Rick because the camera panned to Rick after Ron said, "You." I'm so glad Ron is gone. Yeah, I thought that too, but I think they panned to Rick, but it didn't seem that the gun was aimed at Rick. I think they did that to trick us into thinking, oh, he's trying to kill Rick, so we will be relieved, like, oh, well, he didn't shoot Rick. And then they did the trick with the camera, like, oh, it was actually Carl. Anyway, that's my guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I've always thought it was Carl.
That letter at the end was a huge what the fuck. That guy must have watched the box set of Eyes on the Prize before writing that email to you for the feedback portion. Damn, I don't think I ever want to be that woke.
Yeah.
He emailed me back today, and this email was so long, y'all. It was so long. It's like how can you, you left this long ass email the first time, why would you write a longer one, dog? Like,
we're not reading that.
That's the exact wrong thing to do when I think you might be a crazy.
Yep, won't be reading that one. Just let you know right now.
Yeah.
Like, I veto no.
It's like, here's a chapter of my book. It's like, no, yep. Man, you went the wrong, that's the wrong way to go. You supposed to go shorter. Now, you know, hey, I was just fucking with y'all or something. I don't know the right thing to tell you to say, but I'm just saying, I knew the wrong answer was when I looked at my phone and seen paragraph after paragraph and my thumb was getting tired. I was like, yeah, I can't put this on the show. We can't be encouraging people to write essays into the show like that.
No, sir. No, sir. People don't want to hear that. I'm just keeping it real. This is audio, so no.
Got baby showers to go to.
Right. And nephews to be born soon.
Style Notch says, Rod kept playing Nat Turner Rebellion music as he read that last email, and Karen laughing in the background was everything. You two are too funny. Thanks, Style Notch.
Thank you.
And the poll was Killer Mike's comment sexist? Because we got to talk about Killer Mike for 5 seconds before I realized I was supposed to be reading the feedback. Thanks to Karen for pointing that out.
I was like, oh, so we ain't doing no emails now?
55% of y'all think his comment was sexist, and 45% of you guys don't think it was. And Zeke says, I can't see how Killer Mike's comment wasn't sexist. Yeah, I can't either, and it's surprising that people would vote no and not want to explain it or leave a comment, you know. But hey, it's cool, you know, shit happens. And I, you know, like I said, I can see how people would not view it as sexist, but only because they didn't understand that it was sexist. Like, you know, if that makes any sense to you, you know, like I can see why they would think it wasn't, but then I think common sense would just dictate that you'd be like, oh wait, okay, I see what you're saying now, you know. All right, we got a couple of voicemails here. Let me check the dates. All right, we got a couple of voicemails. I don't think I got the screen. Oh wait, I remember this. Yeah, the first one, she forgot what she wanted to say, so let me play the second one.
Hey, Ron and Karen, this is Iman again. So, sorry about the other message. I'm an introvert, and I usually rehearse what I'm going to say before I call in, or that's where I just usually email because I can just put my thoughts together. I don't know, introvert problems. I'm so awkward. But, yeah, of course, this is about the Nick Jew episode, which was awesome. I loved it. And, you know, I thought it was funny about the back episode people. And obviously, I'm caught up now. And but back when my husband was first sending me episodes, it was like when you're going through all the Bernie Sanders stuff, when you're first going through it. And I would just get so hyped up, and I was like, yes, this is what I'm talking about. I'm posting on Facebook, and I'm just like, Black Rage. I was like, hey, Black Rage. And then when I finally got to the episode where you played the Chasing Amy clip, you know, I was just like, Rod knows what I'm talking about. But the artist thing about him being back on the drugs, it's like, oh yeah, I'm back on the drugs. Like, that was so funny. And I'm an artist as well. So, and it's so true because, you know, when we first got married and I was all happy, I wasn't producing as much art as I would like to. And of course, then that makes me depressed. And then I had to force myself to do artwork so I'm not depressed. And, you know, it's just this vicious cycle. But, yeah, and I was like, I just wish I had the confidence of Kanye, where I just thought all my stuff was awesome. Just like, everything I do is great. And I'm more of just like, oh, well, it's okay. And the dick, Captain D, the dick, that was just so funny. And I just want that just kind of like to be everywhere now. Just, I just want to overhear like people having, you know, ratchet conversations. It's like, oh my God, he is over here with his Kevin D's dick. It's like, you know what? Me and Tyrone broke up because his little old lame ass Kevin D's dick, hashtag Kevin D's dick. Yeah, I just want that to be everywhere because I think it would be hilarious. But, Karen, take a man's husband to Red Lobster and make him feel good. Just plain. I don't care. But yeah, that's all. Keep up the good work, as always. Great show. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye, sweetie. Thank you, we went to Captain Steve's.
Yeah, we did go to Captain Steve's, which I prefer to Red Lobster, to be honest.
Got a lot of food for your money.
You know, it's not going to be in any catchy songs. And maybe Bob Dylan will write something about it. I don't know. Yeah, appreciate everything you said. And, sometimes I feel like I would like to feel like Kanye. Walk around like, my podcast is shit, you know, all the time. But part of me just feels like,
it could be
that would just make you an unbearable asshole. So like, why do that to yourself?
Also, part of me is like, strive to do better, strive to be faster, you know.
Yeah.
You're just challenging yourself to be the best you can be.
Yeah, I'm already the greatest podcaster of all time and all that shit.
We got a long way to go.
Can you imagine if I had a Kanye meltdown if we don't make one of them lists though?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll lose so many people.
What?
So many fans be on Twitter talking, how come I don't make the list, huh? Y'all just gonna keep voting for all these NPR podcasts, man? Oh, this shit.
What happened if I did my podcast about Rod being Rod, because Rod loves Rod?
Calling all my favorite podcasters phonies and shit. Fake ass Tracy and shit. Oh yeah, by the way, my mom told me she listened to another round today, so she loves Tracy and Heaven as well.
We love them too.
But that's why I'm gonna be on Twitter like, nah, Tracy said I could call her them words that I put in the podcast. She said that was cool.
We went out to dinner, we had a conversation.
Right. Tracy's people gonna be like, no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. That's not what happened at all.
No, that's not.
Then I'm gonna have to do a rant on a live other podcast. So I got a whole complex scheme anyway.
You gotta do an interview with Sway.
Yeah. Next voicemail.
Hey, what's up, Ryan Karen? It's Mike. I was calling because I was listening to a story about that sheriff in Rutherford County, Tennessee, who said he was getting shot at by Beyonce fans or whatever. So Rutherford County is where I went to grad school, and Murfreesboro is the town in Rutherford County that I went to school. And apparently, I think I know where his house is, because it's on Memorial Boulevard, which is, like, right off campus. That's, like, the quietest, sleepiest fucking college town in the world. Like, nothing really goes down, period. The biggest crime that happens is, like, somebody's dorm or apartment getting broken in, like, or something like that. Like, normal, like, petty theft, like, bullshit crime. So the cops don't have anything to do in that town. So I'm almost 100% sure that he made all of that shit up. Because nothing ever happens there. And he was just looking for some damn attention to call 5 sheriff deputies over or whatever to patrol that sleepy ass neighborhood is the most unnecessary waste of time I've ever heard of in my whole life. So he's on that bullshit. Y'all's show is still consistently the best shit around. So keep up the good work. Keep doing what y'all doing. I'll talk to y'all again later. Peace.
Thanks, Mike. Mike from Where's My 40 Acres podcast.
Yeah, hard working man. He actually toured with Kendrick.
Mm-hmm.
As a sound tech. Yeah.
And I will say this. Maybe that street was quiet when you were there, but maybe now it sounds a little bit different.
Get the kids! They coming! They coming!
Paparazzi, catch my fly, my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless.
Come on, kids, I'm packing up the car. I'm about to leave y'all.
His rock necklaces. My daddy, Alabama.
You better leave your shoe there. Louisiana. Come on, kids.
Grow with that Creole, make a Texas Bama. I'm a baby hair with baby hair.
I think I left one behind. Oh well.
Different now. Whole block getting shot up.
Right.
Yeah, Beyonce released the formation. It's a totally different block.
Completely.
All right, let's do the emails. There's a ton of them. The Truth About Bernie, episode 1136. By I'm Just Saying. Ron and Karen. I just took some time out after hearing your discussion in episode 1136 about Bernie Sanders. Thank you for voicing everything that I felt about this guy's campaign. Bernie is a career politician just like Hillary, so to think of him as a political outsider is to be willfully ignorant.
Correct.
Bernie is doing the same thing that Obama did to get elected. Obama was somewhat of an outsider, but that was purely based on time. He hadn't had his feet in national politics long enough to be an insider. I thought that was why people liked him. I'm astounded to see that Bernie fans are saying the same thing about a man that is 74 years old and has been through at least one term as a senator. How is Bernie gonna get anything done if he doesn't have Congress behind him? So is Bernie gonna exchange executive order everything? Is the entire country going to vote in a landslide for liberal candidates and turn Congress blue? Doubtful. Why do people think the U.S. is more progressive than it really is? The truth is, if people were as progressive as Bernie's fans think the country is, I wouldn't keep hearing about black unarmed people dying in the streets.
Come on now.
Yeah, also, you know, global warming be taken care of already. All these states that have Republican representation wouldn't have Muslim. It's just, yeah, it's not as liberal as they think. Bernie is going to require everything that Obama has been demanding from his supporters to get anything done, but somehow Bernie is going to get people to be more active than Obama. See, at this point, I just want a lame duck. I just want someone that is going to not fuck up anything that Obama has laid down. I'm a pragmatist. Seeing Obama fight for 7 years has made me one. Yeah, I was one from day one. So, welcome to the club, everybody. That's been my favorite part, really, of the Obama presidency, is watching people come join me. Because I told y'all niggas from jump, was like, he's running as a centrist. Well, he's black, so therefore he's extremely liberal. I'm like, nope, that's not the policies he's advocating.
Yeah, he said he always said he was going to reach across the aisle. He said he's going to be diplomatic. He's always said that.
Right. Even, you know, like the solutions he were offering weren't these left. Because the other thing is, no offense to America, but we would never elect a radical black politician. If a nigga got up there talking the way Bernie talking, man, that fucking debate will be over in 5 minutes. Black people do not get to be radical in America unless they want to be activists or shot by the cops.
Correct. That's it.
Can't be out here talking to radical nigga. They called Obama a socialist. Okay? They called him a socialist. Bernie Sanders is a socialist and that is making him more electable.
Fuck is wrong with people?
You call that man a Muslim and shit? Come on, man.
So he shouldn't even be president because he's not a legal U.S. citizen.
Right. So many people just looked at him and saw what they wanted to see, good and bad.
Correct.
I personally just listened to the man's policy proposals and answers, and I thought, okay, I dig what you're talking about. And I also thought when he said, I'm going to go across the aisles and work with these people, I said, that'll never happen. Cause they're not gonna let you walk across that aisle. Like they don't have any respect for you. And it is what it is. Five Fifths on Twitter really said something that struck me. And this is a quote. I've been thinking about Sanders' proposed reforms across the board, and I think they would carry with them a lot of risk. The obvious counter is that these things are already bad enough where folks should be wanting to take risks, fair enough, but lacking. Regardless of what folks say about Obama's presidency, I think on average people are in the process of rebuilding from the recession. So when people are scratching to get back to where they were before, how do you convince them to take another leap of faith? I think so far Sanders' campaign has leaned on people who have already rebounded or are young and can tolerate risk. So I think about his healthcare proposals. Let's assume that they aren't entirely unfeasible. A Medicare-like system that would benefit the healthiest and least risk-averse the most obvious risk is Sanders gets elected and no political capital to actually pull the rabbit out of the hat. Hillary's platform requires less magic. End quote. That basically summed it up for me. Going with Bernie is taking a risk, and the only people that can take that risk are usually risk averse because of youth, wealth, race, etc. I just want to risk shit. I mean, I don't want to risk it. I don't want to risk not winning a general election. Yeah, that's the other part that people aren't talking about. I feel like is as unpredictable as shit is, if he doesn't have the black vote, if he beats Hillary without the black vote, and then
Democrats
he doesn't have it in the general election, I would be very scared.
Yeah, I think he would lose, period. Just the truth be told, because presentation matters. He's like an old man,
and they're gonna blame black people if he don't win.
Of course.
I don't want to risk not winning a general election. I don't want to risk Obama's legacy. I want a sure thing. I'm willing to get behind the devil I know, because I know how I can manipulate the situation to get what I want from them, and that is Hillary. Sorry for the long email. Feel free to cut out pieces if need be. Have a great week. Sincerely, I'm just saying. Thanks for writing in. And I'll just say
thank you.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of stuff that you said. And in general, you know, I don't blame people that just are like, I'm a dreamer, and I want a God of dreams, and I want to push the boundaries. And if he can't do it, then nobody can. I don't have a problem with those people either. Just don't pressure or harass me, and I'm fine. I'm not trying to change anyone's mind about who they're voting for. I'm not even saying who the fuck I'm voting for. So, like, let's just calm down on the judgmental fussing and all this shit. You know, I would hope that people that support Bernie Sanders don't endorse any of the harassment that they see people getting online, or that they don't see people getting online. Either way, I will hope they believe people who've been victims of this, and also at the same time support their candidate, but call out the people if they ever see it happening around them. Come on now. This is from Conrad. He said, hi, Rod and Karen. Official first time donator Conrad here. I'm a little behind on episodes, but I was listening to this week's feedback show, and I was shocked to hear you theorizing that I was the one who wrote the Angry Feminist This Machine letter. You might be confusing me with Wolfgang, the MRA guy from Germany. I was. My bad. While I am a no good cheese lover, I love the show and your views on race and gender and all this right wing feminism. I'm not vocal. It's because I'm mostly not in the long and don't have much to add. Just wanted to write in to clear my name. Have a great weekend. And I said, oh shit, you right, my bad. So, and he also said, thanks for suggesting RSS Radio.
Yeah, a lot of people are happy because it's like, nah, let's do your show. Thank God.
He had the exact same problem with the default podcast app taking up all the space on his phone. Moved everything over, and I'm enjoying it so far. Should definitely see if you can get some endorsement money from them. Have a good one.
Yeah, I did the same thing. A neat trick. For those of you that have RSS Radio and you have I think RSS Radio only work for Apple, if I'm not mistaken. So what you do is that it's an option on there where you can go to your iPod, and when you click it, everything that you have in your iTunes, you can automatically convert them over and subscribe, and then you can turn around and delete it, which makes it a lot smoother than trying to remember everything that you have in your iPod.
Amber writes in, love the show. Hello, I'd been looking for a new podcast to listen to that was full of black people with a woke, not Ankh hoped up nigga perspective. That was funny with a positive vibe. I'm so glad I found the show, and I've been going back and listening to old episodes because y'all lit and southern like myself. So thanks again. Love the show.
Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah, we lit and southern, baby. Mm-hmm.
Lit.
Like that southern comfort. You know what I'm saying? All right. Next one. Kadesha writes in, The Walking Dead, No Way Out. This episode of Walking Dead was incredible. I was on the edge when Rick entrusted Gabriel with Judith. I was screaming, you better not fuck this up and defend this baby with your life. And I was so here for the speech in the church. Michonne had me emotional when she became Rick's blocker to get Carla to safety. Her face and her urgency to help Rick, but not before giving Carla a kiss, so was so telling, and how much the group means to each other. Don't even get me started on my bae Daryl and his genius. One thing I did notice when Glenn got in the truck with Daryl, there was a moment when they both looked down at something. I don't know if I'm just reaching, but I think Glenn got bit. Anyway, I love TBGWT and these recaps. Thank you for all you guys do. That'll be interesting if he did get bit.
Yep, we'll find out soon if he did.
Yeah, that'd be interesting because they seem like they would have alluded to that a lot bigger. That would have been a great place to end it if that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Zoom in on that big ass bite. Okay, Adrian writes in, Fetty Carl, hey there. I haven't been able to listen to your podcast for a couple of weeks because my phone broke and I haven't been able to get it replaced yet. I tend not to be at my computer long enough to listen online either, but for your Walking Dead review app, I found a way. Hey, like I said, welcome back, white people. We, you know, couldn't get to this racism is kind of tough to get through, but everybody want to get through that Walking Dead, dog.
Yes,
I feel you.
Yes, we love the Walking Dead.
But you did get some Killer Mike sexism thrown in there, so I feel like it was a fair trade. The Walking Dead episode was awesome, and as always, your review, I learned stuff listening. I had completely forgotten about Abe's patience lesson. Abe is always asking who someone is. I didn't remember when the RPG had come from until listening. Where the RPG had come from until listening. Additionally, your analysis of Daryl as a ninja, but I think he's probably Snake Eyes, not Storm Shadow. That's you know, half of one dozen of the other. That entire conversation Rick and the group had was so irritating. While I didn't care about Daryl being quiet, I did have a problem with no zombies noticing this long ass conversation in their midst. I also was shocked that Rick let Gabe take Judith. I thought for sure that was the end of Judith. Man, I was nervous for that little baby.
Ooh, I was like, they ain't gonna make it. Yeah, they had a business meeting sipping donuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, not sipping donuts, eat donuts, sipping coffee and shit.
I kept waiting for the show to cut to Gabe and Judith after getting eaten or making it to the church.
Right.
Nope, just suddenly Gabe was in the chapel handing Judith to some lady. In the meantime, I was super confused because I don't know where that church, there was a church and a chapel. When did that happen? Oh, well, he been in that church. Yeah, he been preaching and shit. I was wondering where that new church came from that Glenn was in.
That was outside of.
Yeah, where the fuck that one come from? Clean as shit, too. But I remember Gabe finding that church and being like, I should open a church and I could be the preacher.
Mm-hmm. That was the same church him and Sasha was in.
Yeah, but that Glenn shit, I don't know where that church came from. And Glenn had locked the doors to the church when he and Edith went there. Yeah, yes, yeah, a totally different church. It's not the same church.
Yeah, just they went to a church that was outside of Alexandria.
That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot to say about Denise and the Wolf other than that was the fastest working antibiotics I've ever seen. Uh-huh. he was ready to go. He went from dying to ready to go.
Yes, he did.
Maybe he was faking it though. Maybe he was faking the severity.
That's true too.
I was not surprised to see Sam go at the beginning of the episode. I said to my fellow viewers, Sam's dying tonight. It was hard wrenching to watch Jesse watch Sam die like by a zombie. And while I wasn't unexpected, her screams will bring the zombies down upon her. I also didn't expect her death this episode. I agree with Rod that Rick's flashbacks were kind of limp. Who cares? I found Jesse's pain over her son's death much more engaging than Rick over Jesse's death. I agree.
Right, correct.
Yeah, that shit was wild. I disagree with Rod about the situation with Ron and the gun. Ron was pointing the gun at Rick, not Carl. Everybody seems to think that.
I think he was aiming for a Carl because he had a... Yes, he was mad at Rick, but what's the best way to get Rick back is to kill the only thing he loves, which is Carl. Why? Because you took his daddy, so he feel like if he took your son, you're quote-unquote even.
Yeah, I just don't see why he would suddenly change from wanting to kill Carl to wanting to kill Rick. You know what I mean? I just don't get, like, because Rick didn't do anything in that situation that... the warranted that shit, in my opinion, but I understand Ron is psychotic, so maybe we'll never know. But
true.
You know, maybe if they would have made it different, like he was trying to kill Rick and then Carl got shot trying to block the bullet, I don't know. Anyway, I will never know the answer to that mystery. Maybe somebody will interview them or they'll do a Talking Dead or something. Because when it went off and hit Carl, his arm had moved to the side. No, he shot more than one shot, y'all. Go back and listen to it. There's more than one shot. The muzzle flashes one time after he stabbed, but he shoots more than one shot. Then after he was stabbed, that bullet actually, like that gunshot that you see isn't aiming at anyone.
I have a question. SpongeBob up. Do you think, a lot of people think it was Rick because he chopped off his mama's hand, but she was dying anyway?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I personally just don't think that's what happened. I think he was going to kill Carl.
Yeah, and the reason why is because he was going to kill Carl before, so I don't think that motive changed that quick. He fought Carl in the house. They was in there fucking shit up. His whole thing was Carl the entire time because, like I said, him and Carl got in there. Carl was a dick. That anger he had never went away. He was going to shoot Carl before the wall came down. That anger never went away, so my opinion, Carl was his target.
Yeah, so that's my guess, but like I said, it's obviously open to...
it's open to interpretation, but that's just my opinion. I don't think... Yes, he was angry at Rick, but I don't think Rick was his target.
Yeah, that's my personal belief, but... And I really do... And I think it was filmed to be misleading, so that you would think, oh, Rick's safe. Everything's okay. But obviously he was not safe and it was not okay. But anyway, that's my guess. Anyway, let's see. So yeah, Ron saw Rick as the enemy and the one making moves on his mom and killing his dad, not allowing his dad to be buried within the walls. Right. But he saw all that shit before this and he still wanted to kill Carl.
I think that
he was going to shoot Carl.
I think it's over Enid. His heart was broken. Being all emo.
Yeah. So, I mean, we know, like, none of that changed from when they were walking in that line. I wouldn't be like, let me at least put it this way. I like to ask a nuance. Wouldn't be shocked if the writers are like, oh no, he was trying to kill Rick and he accidentally shot Carl. Wouldn't be shocked, but I just felt like what I saw was him trying to kill Carl.
Me too.
You know, obviously I don't know exactly how important that is to the way shit went down and that little fucking psycho.
He needed to die.
Worth a damn. I was as surprised as Karen that Michonne stuck the sword through Ron. That was as close to murder as any of Rick's crew ever gets. I thought Carl was going to die. One more thought on Denise and the wolf. It seems like the writers purposely left the idea whether the wolf was acting to self-interest or if Morgan's chats had gotten through to him. I'll be bugged by it as Rod because I really don't like the idea that Morgan could keep up his bullshit and danger the group because it may work. Yeah. Yeah, I want to know how Morgan interpreted that dude coming back, especially if Denise tells him.
Yeah, that's if she tells, she might not.
Yeah. As for Morgan's, it could be cold, blah, blah, or it could be because Rick has a special place in his heart for Morgan, and if Carol killed Morgan, she'd be in trouble. Yeah, I sincerely doubt that. I don't think Carol even thinks about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think Carol's so hardcore, she doesn't even regret when she got kicked out for killing that woman. She still thinks that was the right thing to do.
Correct, because her concern was the group.
Yeah, when she killed Karen for getting sick, mm-hmm. I think she still 100% believes that was just the right thing to do.
And because she didn't want an outbreak.
Yeah, she'd do it again. And I think if she felt that Morgan was a threat to the group, she would kill him in a heartbeat and never feel guilty.
Mm-mm.
At first, I thought Rick was just acting crazy with grief, but you think his initial goal was to take the zombies out and direct them away from the infirmary, or do you think he was just upset at first and it turned into a goal-oriented thing? The latter.
Yeah, me too.
I think he just went out to fuck some zombies up because he couldn't help his son in any way, meaningful way. He's not a surgeon.
Right. He was like, what am I doing here?
I haven't watched The Talking Dead yet, and I didn't watch The Walking Dead episode until Wednesday. Next time, I'll watch Sunday and email before your recap. Have a lovely weekend. Thanks.
Thank you, sweetie.
But next time, try to cut down a little bit if you can. Let's see. The RSS, yes. From Eris, who says, hey, Rod and Karen, I just wanted to drop a line. Thank you both for the alternate podcast app recommendations you gave a few episodes back. I had an iPhone for years. It never occurred to me to use anything other than the built-in podcast app. I downloaded RSS Radio based on the features, and I loved it. The sound quality is noticeably superior. Yeah, yep. They have a sound boost thing where you can level all the sound, and it goes up. Like, the podcast app claims to have that. It does not mm-hmm. work, but it definitely works with RSS Radio. Mm-hmm. You can hear it turn low volume podcast to normal volume.
Right, and it sounds so much better.
The sound quality is noticeably superior. The recommendations tab have given me 3 new pods to try. It's so flexible versus the iOS app. Haven't submitted feedback in a while. Just wanted to shout y'all out. Keep the angry feminist machine running. Black Power Fist. Love you both in the TBGWT fam. Shout out to the Facebook group, Eris. Thanks, Eris.
Thank you, sweetie.
Appreciate you. Let's see what else we got here. Hiroja Sheeb says, is back day walking to Rod and Karen. Let me express to you this joyous feeling, even though I came through midway on the live show, but did catch the rest of the podcast. This feeling is like when you are spring cleaning your closet and you're going through all your outfits, trying to make the hard choices on which ones you're going to keep based on which outfits are still cute, which ones are played out, who does not match with anything, who no longer fits you, but still is cute, we are just going to forget about, and et cetera. When in the back of the closet in the corner behind some mess is those pair of jeans that are your favorite but comfortable but you completely forget you still have that are just fantastic on you and fit. Karen and Rod, you knows what I'm talking about. It's the booty hugging jeans that just make everything pop and just so happens to match with anything and everything in your closet. And that's what your that's what the joyous feeling felt like when I heard Daywalker was back. Listening to both of you break down the show is one of my favorite segments y'all do at the Gay News. Just made the rest of my whiz day. I have a great Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetie.
In them jeans.
Making that booty pop.
And then, yeah, this is the one from B Black. Look at all this, Karen. Mm-mm. He included pictures. Mm-mm. Like, it's,
nah, I don't want to be woke today. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's like two emails. Like, at one point, it starts mm-mm. another email. Brother Rod, Sister Karen.
Mm-mm. Nope. I veto it.
Yeah, man. Sorry, dog. This shit too long. And then when I said this is way too long, he said, I don't disagree. And then he said, I'll truncate it. Give me a word limit. I'm like, that's worked for me. I'm not. No. Shorter? That's it. Just shorter. Mm-mm. Way, way, way shorter.
Thank you for your feedback, baby. But no, we're not reading that.
Yeah, man. That was. Man, I got to open up a damn Kindle to get through that. Emil writes in, hey, guys. How my favorite right-wing feminist? Still fomenting that feministist rage? I hope this email gets in under the wire. During last week's feedback show, you vented about Bernie Sanders while reading one of the feedback emails. It really is astounding how racially clueless Bernie Sanders is. Almost a year into his campaign, he's doing what economic spin move when asked about racial issues. Mm-hmm. Added to that, he still believes that he can win a general without the black vote.
Yep. In the brown vote, you have Hispanics. Like, we... Brown people actually are a huge voting block, and black women vote higher than any other demographic group. So if you don't cater towards us, particularly black women, and our issues, truthfully, to an extent, are different than black men, not only race issues matter, but issues about sexism matters to us also, in addition to racism. And this is that intersectionality. So if you don't address one of the issues, you're definitely not going to address the other one.
Yeah, and also you can't be talking about you want to pull Trump's voters over and also think you're going to get the minority vote.
Right, because there are a lot of motherfuckers, they're goddamn racist. They're racist. So you mean to tell me you're going to pull over these racist people and think they're going to be cool with you having policies that cater towards black people or poor people? Because there are a lot of white poor people. They don't care about poor people.
No. Fuck that. I'm being specific to race.
Okay.
You're doing the same thing as him, switching to the economy. No. They don't want to hear this shit about black people getting anything.
Correct.
They don't want to hear about your criminal justice programs that'll help black people, any of that shit. So you're not going to get Trump voters and have a strong platform against racism, which is why he doesn't. You know what I mean? Because he's correct. Like, I'm not going to get that vote, and it doesn't matter to me anyway. I'm just not trying. He's still a politician. Mm-hmm. He's still someone in his campaign does the numbers. You know, it is what it is, man. People trying to turn him into something he's not. And that's one of the reasons he's getting such a rejection from so many black people. It's because people are aware of the jig, you know. Anyway, white progressives generally seem to believe that shit as well. Sometimes I wonder if a 4-year stretch under the President Trump will force white progressives into realizing that people of color are pretty sick of having their issues white explained to them. If it gets too crazy, y'all can spend 4 years up here in Canada. The winters here in Vancouver are pretty mild, with the added plus of it being the film location of both Star and Central Cities. Oh, maybe I can be an extra. In 4 years, I know I can go to Star Labs because they ain't got no security.
Yes,
top flight of the world, Craig.
Yeah, I want to go to Earth too.
In 4 years, y'all can slip back over the border in time to vote for the Obama nose ticket with the campaign slogan. Yes, we can.
Yes, bitch. Yes,
I'm assuming Michelle Obama, Beyonce nose.
That whole campaign slogan gonna be getting information.
Pretty sure that would be the nose Obama ticket by then.
Of course.
On another note, this week Kanye dropped his new album. I swore I was going to ignore that shit because of his Bill Cosby tweet. Worse, I could only get it on Tidal. Not that I have anything against Tidal, but it's another streaming service that I had to pay for. Anyway, when I regained consciousness, I was reading my welcome email from Tidal and streaming Ultralight Beam. Damn it, that nigga done got me again. His shit is so good. He is so problematic, but so good. I have never liked to dislike the Kanye project. And really, part of the reason we have Drake and Future is because of 808s and Heartbreak. Thanks again for another great week of shows. I know, man. It hurts when you can't.
Yeah, that free 30 days got a lot of people.
Everybody want to have that principle.
Yeah, and let's keep it told. Y'all, people like me, goddamn lazy. I ain't going to get no files. I ain't getting no legal shit. I don't want the police arresting me. Mm-hmm. I will pay that $9.99.
Everybody want to talk about that principle until that motherfucking, to that bait, till you hear that part two start. Then you ain't got no principles no more.
Perfect. I told, hey. Up in the morning, miss you back. Sorry I ain't call you back. Same problem my father had. All his time, all he had. All he had and what he dreamed. All his cash. Market crash, hurt him bad. People get divorced for that. Drop some stack, pops is good. Mama passed in Hollywood, if you ask. Lost my soul, driving fast. Lost control, off the road. Jaw was broke, remember we always broke. Remember I'm coming back. I'll be taking all the stack.
I got girls in Atlanta.
Choose to believe it. Credit cards and scammers.
Take it. Oh, said, legacies. Family. Nigga, how can you be mad? How can you be mad? Legacies. Only thing mad is my face, cause I be jamming so hard. Like, this not even Future, dog. Just Future Light. I don't know who this nigga is. This past. I don't know who this dude is.
Is that oh, no, it's not Future.
No. This nigga got present on the album. And it don't matter.
No, it don't.
Credit cards and the scammers. Wake up and sack over to Latin shit. They be answering rent, I don't be clapping shit. I be pulling us up in the finest shit. I got plenty of stuff with Bugatti, but look how I tried this shit. Legacies, Phantom. Why is it killing no drama?
Oh, the boy a goddamn genius.
Yeah, he
man.
Can have next week on him. I don't care.
How it don't matter. Mm-mm. Anyway, guys, can't stop Kanye. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow morning. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.